begin reading chapter number 1, Ruth chapter number 1. Let's begin reading at verse number 16. I begin to pray, and I believe the Holy Ghost began to impress this upon me last night and this morning. And I just want to obey the Holy Ghost this morning, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God knows where you are at. Amen. Praise God. Can I get more than two amens on that?
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I believe that the Holy Ghost knows exactly where we are at this morning. The Bible says in Ruth 1 and 16, and this is Ruth speaking, the Bible says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." The Bible says in verse 17 that says, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." The Bible says, "And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." And I want to bring our intentions back up to verse number 16, where the Bible says that Ruth began to tell Naomi, "Entreat me not." Meaning, do not try to change my mind.
Yeah.
Don't try to persuade me of anything different, because I've already got my mind made up.
Yes,
and I want to preach from that verse this morning. And I want this to be my title. Entreat me not. Because I believe that we are living in the last days. And if there was ever a time for the enemy to come in and try to persuade someone different in living for God, it is now. It is the very last hours upon this earth. And I believe that his job today and the rest until the trumpet sounds is to entreat people from turning away from God. It's changing the minds of you and I from living for God. So I want to preach that this morning. Devil, entreat me not. Can we lay our Bibles down and lift our hands and ask the Lord's anointing to be upon the remainder of this service? Lord, we love you. We thank you for what we feel in this place. God, help me to stay sure-footed. Lord, help me to stay upon your word, upon the foundations. Lord, help me, God. Lord, to be sound-minded and with a mind to be made up that I'm going where you go, that I'm going to follow after you, that I'm going to live for you. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands into the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Before you see it, I want you to tell your neighbor, my mind's already made up. Praise God, you can receive it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I get into my text this morning, but I would like to go back to a place where in the Bible we find two individuals, two men. And these two men were standing in the midst of a decision, and they both had some choices to make. And we find one of those men by the name of Abram and the other Lot. And Abram began to tell Lot, choose what path you're going to take. I want you to find a direction and choose it. And we find that Lot makes this choice to the plains of Jordan that was well wanted everywhere. And the Bible says in Genesis 13 and 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Just because it looks good, just because it is well wanted, I believe that there are things in this world that look good, and many individuals want these things. But for a pure apostolic, we must ask for the old ways. We must ask for the old paths, because that is the good way. Or it might look old-fashioned to some of you. It might look old-fashioned to this world. But friend, can I tell you, I don't care how old it looks, it's still good. The Bible says in Genesis 13 and 12 that Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I want to stop for a moment right now and emphasize this, saints of God. Ma'am, sir, you need to pay close attention to this. Because whichever way, which direction you're pointing and pitching your tent towards, eventually one day you're going to find yourself going in that direction. If you got your home, if you got your tent pitched towards the things of this world, and you will find it eventually backslidden and in the world. Oh, but friend, there's a flip side to that. If you got your tent pitched towards the things of God, and I'm telling you, friend, into glory, into heaven, one day, friend, you're going to find yourself walking on streets of gold. Because, friend, can I tell you this morning, it does matter what direction you're facing. It does matter what direction you're walking. It does matter how you're living. Praise God. Some of us, we find ourselves being blindsided by the things that approach us, all because we were unaware of which way our feet were pointing. It doesn't matter how much your head is looking towards a direction. It's where your feet that's planted means the difference. You can look like a hoot owl and have your head turned backwards. But when you start walking, you're going to walk forward, because that's the direction of your feet. You will always find yourself in the midst of trouble, if you have your family, if you have your well-being's pointing towards the things of this world, you will always find heartache. You will always find trouble and grief. So be careful which way that you and I are looking, and which way we have our tent pitched towards. Because we see that this did make a difference in Lot's life. Pitching his tent towards Sodom. And we find in scriptures that the next time we see him, he has a little bit of a migration towards this place. Lot now is here in Sodom. Now he is being a judge, and he's raising his family in this city. In this city of sin, living outside the will of God. And when we find that the Lord is wanting to destroy this place of Sodom and Gomorrah because of its great sins, we see that his uncle Abraham begins to stand before the Lord and begins to draw near unto him and begins to pray. And he says, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous and with the wicked?" He says, "Will you destroy the good that's also living among the evil?" He says that there has got to be at least somebody that you can spare in this devastation and in this destruction. Thank God for a praying uncle. Thank God, because this was still Lot's man of God. Thank God for a man of God that will not give up on you. No matter how far you've strayed away from him, no matter how far you've gotten involved in Sodom and Gomorrah, no matter how far you've gotten into sin, thank God for a man of God that will stand in between judgment and you and plead with God, saying, "Lord, there's a righteousness, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a family out there in this world, and I'm praying unto you that you show mercy and grace to." Thank God for a praying man of God. We find that Lot, seeing these two angels, and they begin to take them into his home. And the angels begins to tell Lot that we are going to destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse number 14 says, "And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws." And we find Lot leaving his house, and he goes to his sons-in-laws, and he begins to tell them about what the angels have just told Lot. And he begins to emphasize, and he begins to beg these individuals, his very own daughters, his very own family, that the Lord is going to destroy this place, that judgment is coming, that there is devastation coming. And the Bible says that they mocked him.
All right, folks.
You see, Finn, when you begin to raise your children in Sodom and Gomorrah, when you begin to raise your children outside the will of God, you better listen at me right now. When you begin to raise your children in the world, oh, you might have a revelation that he's coming back. You might have a revelation and understand, oh, that he's going to split that eastern sky. But friend, can I tell you that the longer you live out in Sodom and Gomorrah, the longer that you live and raise your family in the world, I'm telling you, friend, you're going to lose your influence over your family.
Yep, that's it.
Lot began to beg his family. Lot began to beg his sons-in-laws. Lot began to beg his daughters. And because of where Lot chose them, and he lost the respect that they had towards him, and they begin to mock him. I'm telling you, friend, there's coming a day and hour that we're going to try to reach for some family, that we're going to try to reach for some loved ones, but because of their choices to raise themselves and their family in this whole world, they're going to turn against us and begin to mock us and say, oh, I've already heard that story once or twice. I already heard that he's coming back, and we're going to lose our influence over them. Because where are we deciding to make a decision in our life and raise our family and children?
Amen, amen. That's right.
Amen. That's why it's so important when you get in, you stay.
Amen.
That's why it's so important that we raise our children and our family in the house of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
To maintain and to keep our influence over our family. Because when the time comes and the signs and the wonders and the rumors of war begin to take place, we will still have a respectful spirit from them and an influence to help them and guide them. But for Lot, he lost this ability to influence his children. And now the time comes, the Bible says, and they have to leave, and they're expecting judgment. And we find the angels beginning to lead them out. Friend, do you understand the length that God will go through to save one man, to save one family? God will send angels to walk you right out and take your hand. Listen, friend, you're not here by accident. What you didn't know this morning when you woke up, you grabbed a hold of an angel, and the angel is trying to haste you out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel is hasting you into a city of refuge. The angel this morning, with the anointing and the pull of the Holy Ghost, has brought you here this morning to let you know and understand that you still have time to get out. I said, I'll do whatever I have to do to save one righteous man. I'll go to the extent of sending two angels and escorting them out of a hellfire and brimstone city that was about to be engulfed. But there was only one rule. There was only one rule that these angels began to command Lot and his family. There was one rule. Don't look back. I'm telling you, friend, if there was ever a moment in our lives to not look back upon our past, oh, but keep our looking towards the future of the coming of the Lord. Because I'm telling you, friend, there's some things that you're not aware of that still might influence you when you begin to look back. You say, why, preacher? Because I don't believe that it was the city that began to influence Lot's wife. I don't believe it was the pull of the city, the pull of the immorality that was pulling in her direction. But I believe it was some family that she had to leave behind. It was some grandchildren. It was some sons-in-laws that didn't make up their mind to leave that city and that pull of family. I'm telling you, friend, I know it's going to sound tough this morning, but there's going to come a time and a day where you're going to have to walk away from some things that's going to pull on you. Because, friend, it's not worth having family members pull you straight to hell. God has got you out. God has placed you where you want to be placed. I'm telling you, friend, keep the hand of the angel. Keep the hand of your man of God. And say, God, wherever you lead me, I'm going to follow. Man of God, wherever you take me, I'm going to follow. Don't you lose grip of the angel's hand. You take the angel's hand. You take that man of God. And you keep it close. You keep it precious to you. Never lose the hand of the angel. Friend, your pastor is the closest thing you're going to see to God.
Oh, yeah.
He is an angel, a messenger.
Yeah.
And if there was ever a time, friend, I'm telling you, oh, that we need to take hold of our hands, of the angels, of our men of God, of our pastors. It's now. We need to cling to the hand of the man of God. Friend, I promise you, he is the connection to God. I understand and I hear it all the time that God spoke to me, and people begin to make their own decisions, and the pastors left in the dark because the whole time it wasn't God speaking to them. It was an influence that began to penetrate their mindset. And I believe that that's where we are at this morning. There's good people that are sitting on apostolic church pews. There are good people that's got their mind made up, but there's an influence that they're still allowing them to be pulled from side to side. Oh friend, if you want to stop the influence, if you want to stop the temptation, take the hand of the angel and do what the Bible says and don't look back. Leave the temptation. Leave what God has pulled you out of. Leave the alcohol and the drugs and the immorality. Make it without a pastor in your life.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about someone that you can just hire and pay what you want to pay to preach what you want to preach.
Yeah.
But I'm talking a man of God that's not ashamed to walk down to where you're at and take you by the hand and say, hey, look, man, I know you're not where you're supposed to be. And I'm not ashamed to come where you're at. And I want to help you get back to the place that God wants you to be. And he began to tell them, remember Lot's wife. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, I don't care how saved you are. We need to remember Lot's wife. We need to remember that they were outside the city. She was in a safety zone. She had been pulled out of sin. And she still had the ability to turn around and look back. What are you saying? I'm talking to every musician. I'm talking to every singer. I'm talking to every saint of this church. Remember Lot's wife, because you are not exempt from looking back. The only thing that's going to keep you looking forward is being face down on your knees, praying before God, seeking Him, holding on to the hand of the angel. I'm telling you, friend, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because God's been good to me. He pulled me out of darkness into His marvelous light. He filled me with the fruit of the Holy Ghost, and I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hey, come on, friend, you ought to get excited. I live for God. You ought to get excited. God pulls you out of darkness. You ought to get excited. That you know. Is over. But no mother figure that they will never get married, that they'll never hear the sounds of wedding bells. You see, no one will ever want us because of what we had to go through. So they come up now with a plan. And their plan was to get daddy drunk. Because of this influence of this world. And they said that this is our only option. And they get daddy drunk. And his two daughters, they were pure. They had never been with a man. They are holy. And later on in that chapter, you find daddy getting drunk. And the Bible says that these two daughters, these two ladies, begin to lay with their father. They were conceived with child. It's one thing to have the outside right. But friend, it's another thing, and we better have the inside right. Oh, appearances can be deceiving. Anybody can look apostolic, but it's only inside that's what counts. Because I promise you, friend, if you're not right on the inside, it will eventually start showing on the outside. It will be in your heart. It will be in the way you think. And then eventually, you will begin to speak those things that are on the inside. And if it's not right on the inside, I promise you, friend, it won't be long before the outside is totally gone.